Good evening. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 14. The book of Luke, chapter number 14. We will begin reading in verse number 16 all the way down through verse number 24. And when we get done reading, we'll have a word of prayer and then we'll dive into our message. Just real quick, it's been mentioned that from our guys how they really enjoy to sing. And every year that I go up there, I like to record our group singing, and it's really phenomenal. So ladies, if you want to hear those things, let me know. I can let you listen after church if you'd like. I can give you my phone, do whatever. Did some recordings of Heartland Quartet as well. I did spare you this. I did not sing during the times I was recording because that would pick me up very heavily. So I spared you folks of those things. But anyway, it was a blessing to be around everybody this week, and I heard a lot of guys said they enjoyed being away and being with men. I missed my wife during that time. I got you guys on that one, but anyway, it was a treat. Let's go ahead and begin reading in verse number 16, and I'm going to share with you guys tonight, as I said this morning, this is one of the greatest discouragement a pastor faces while he's in the ministry. It's not the greatest, but it's one of the greatest discouragements that he faces. And I will begin to explain this later. So then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must need go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, mind you, this is the man who sent out this invitation. He said he was angry. And said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get right into this. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this evening that you've given us to be here. Lord, it's been a joy to be around your people this weekend, my brothers and my sisters in Christ. And Lord, I pray that as we leave here tonight and we all go about our separate ways, that you would continue to work on our hearts. Lord, I pray that this evening that you would be glorified through your message. Lord, I pray that I would not step in front of you, but Lord, I pray that you take this pulpit right now. Lord, I pray that you just begin to work in our hearts, and we ask it in your name. Amen. Before I begin going any further, I'm going to really talk to the ladies at this point in time, but this doesn't give the guys the excuse to doze off and to go into la-la land, because this is important for you to hear as well. But just imagine, ladies, if you were to have a supper at your house for some great occasion, whatever it may be. It could be a Thanksgiving dinner that you wanted to have. It could be a Christmas dinner. It could be a surprise dinner for a friend of yours. And you just wanted to take that time to invite some folks. And so you begin to do a lot of preparation. And during that time, there's one thing that's going to take place during that time. And ladies, you know this as well as I do. You're going to clean the house up. Because one of the things that you want to do is you want to have your house clean, because you don't want people coming to your house begin to point out everything that is dirty. So you're going to clean that house from top to bottom. So during that time, you're going to exert some of your own energy at this point in time preparing for the meal that is ahead of time. So after the house has been cleaned, thoroughly examined, gone through from the basement all the way up to the attic, you've done the spring cleaning of your house. And now you've moved on from that chore because you have a list of people that you have in mind that you want to have come over. And this list is important to you because you have a great love for these folks that is on this list. And so you begin to go through the cleaning, and now you've moved on to the appetite for that evening, the meal that is going to take place. And so you begin to go through the names, and you might say to yourself, well, so-and-so, they're allergic to peanuts, so I'm not going to have anything that has peanuts in there. So-and-so might have this thing that might upset their stomach, this, that, and the other. So you take a lot of thought into this, because the last thing that you want to do, you don't want someone to come over to your house and spend some time with you and have dinner and end up getting sick. So you begin to think about all of these things that might be at play. And so now you have your dinner, it's all planned out, you got your salad taken care of, you got your main course taken care of, and of course there's the thing that always takes place after the dinner time, and that is dessert. Now, when I was growing up in our house, we didn't always have cake, we didn't always have pie. My mom always had something after dessert. It was either canned peaches or canned pineapple or things of that nature. And that was able to give us, to quench our sweet tooth after that, our great dinner that we had. And so you had that preparation all taken care of. And this is taking some time, and this is taking some consideration. Great thought and great detail has gone into all this planning. And then you come down to your guest list. And this is more thought and gets into more detail. Well, I want so-and-so here. And then you begin to think, well, I want this person here. And then you begin to say, well, if I don't invite this person, they're going to feel left out. So I need to invite them as well, because I don't want them to feel that they're not loved and that they're not cared for by me. And so before you know it, your list of 3, 4, maybe 5 people that you have down for attendance has now probably gone into 20 people. And so after all this has taken place, the invitation's sent out. You've given them an invitation to come to your home. You've given them permission to knock on your door and to come in and to partake in the meal that's to take place. But as these invitations are sent out, automatically you begin to have excuses given to you. Well, I can't make it that night because I gotta wash my hair. After all, I haven't washed my hair for 3 or 4 days, and that's very important for me, and I need to take that time to do those things. That's a silly excuse, isn't it? And you might say to yourself, well, can't you pick another night? But you don't want to offend that person, and you say, okay, that's fine. We're really going to miss you, but hopefully you come out of this, your hair is all sparkly clean. Some of you might sit there and say, well, I have some kids at home that they need their mother to attend to. Father won't take care of the business, and I need to be home. And we hear that excuse. By the way, if that's an excuse, that's sad, because the husband ought to be able to step in and take care of those things. Yeah, honey, you've been invited. You need some time off. You need to go have fellowship with other women, and you need to do these things. And so you begin to hear excuse after excuse. And then before you know it, that list that you have compiled from 3 to 5 all the way up to 20 has dwindled down to 0. Because the excuses kept coming in. Ladies, if that was you and you sent out that invitation, you've taken that time, by a raise of hands, how many of you would be offended? Not all the ladies would be. But a majority of our women would be offended by that. Why? Because you have taken time out of your schedule to be a blessing to someone else who might need to be blessed at that night. And they gave excuses. You know, I'm fed up with excuses. I was talking to Logan the other day, and we were talking about some excuses, and he was telling me some of his, and I had to tell him one of our pastor's excuses that he heard years ago. As he began to go door knocking to one of the people's houses, I don't know if it was here in Council Bluffs or if it was here in Seattle, and they had holes in their screen porch, and they're sitting on their porch, and pastor began to ask him, hey, can you come to church? And the excuse was, no, I can't. I got to stay home and swat the flies. That's an excuse. We use excuses all the time, and excuses keep us from being blessed by somebody who wants to be a blessing to us. And we allow those things to fester into our lives. Verse number 16, you have a man. It says, a certain man made a great supper, and he bade many, he wanted many folks to come and to partake with him and to have dinner with him, to sup with him, to have a conversation with him. And the invitations were sent out, and let's begin to look at the first excuse that came in. Verse number 18, it says, and they all, with one consent, begin to make excuse. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. I will say to you, this person who bought this piece of ground without looking at it is a foolish person. Why in the world would you want to buy a piece of property without looking at it first? There is a piece of property here in our town that just sits north of Menards right now, south of Menards, and it's an empty field, and they've been wanting to do things with this field for many years. And this field is for sale right now, and I don't know what's going on with it. I have no idea if someone's in the process of buying this. It still says for sale, but I do know that there's a great deal of work that is going into this land that's there right now. And the reason why there's a lot of things going into this land right now is because this land is contaminated with lead. And word has gotten out that the contamination is pretty bad. And you want to know why the contamination is pretty bad? Years ago, a lot of you folks, I don't know if you remember the old derby that was sat down there. I remember the old derby because we used to go there on Saturday nights. Uncle Bill, he used to be the guy that slung out those, what were they called? Disc. Clay pigeons. And I was proud going there because I always got to say, my uncle's in that little tin can and he's throwing those things out. Little did I know he had a machine in there doing the throwing for him. But he would throw those out, and men would gather around, and they would shoot their shotguns, and they would try to hit those things. That was a thing in the past that I looked forward to doing. But through all the years of doing that, do you realize that ground got contaminated with lead? And so they're down there now doing the process of removing the lead that has contaminated that land so that land can be profitable for somebody to use it down the road. But it would be foolish of us to buy a piece of property that you haven't looked at. Probably about 16, 17 years ago, my wife's father came to me and he said, Chad, I got a piece of land that I saw in the paper that was for sale. And I went down there and I looked at it, and I want you to come down there and I want you to look at it with me, and I want you to see what you think of this. And so we took the weekend and we went up there and drove in the car to this piece of property where they lived until the day he passed away. This piece of land is a diamond in the rough. We looked at that and I saw the potential that he was seeing. And after we saw that and after we began to talk with each other, it wasn't my decision, but I guess I helped influence him in this area. He bought the property. He just wanted somebody else's opinion. But it would have been foolish for him to buy a piece of property that he read about in the paper without any pictures, without seeing anything, to go down there and to buy it. But he did the right thing. He looked at it, he sought counsel on it, and bought that piece of property. But this man here was foolish, and he gave this excuse. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your invite, but I just bought a piece of ground that I have no idea what it looks like. Matter of fact, I don't even know where it's at. I need to go down and take a look at it and see where I put my money at. So this is the excuse that is given. These excuses begin to build up. Verse number 19, it says, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Now, as a farmer, I don't have that privilege to go back into my life and say, yeah, I was a farmer and I was able to do this, that, and the other thing. I have no idea what it takes to be a farmer. I've read about it. I've heard stories about it. And I can kind of have an inclination of what it's about. But again, I'm not there. But I do know this. I would not buy something if I didn't know that if it worked or not. That would be foolish. About 6 weeks ago, Jalen, you all know, she turned 16, and when you turn 16, you get excited, you already have your permit in hand, and in the next stage in life is, hey, man, I can't wait to get my license. And when you get your license, you want to have a car. And so I began to look for a car. And the reason why I began to look for a car for her, because I knew how hard I was on my father's car growing up, and I didn't want Jalen to do that to my vehicle. Forgive me, Father, for just now confessing my sins of beating on your car. So I saw something in the paper. Actually, it was on Craigslist, and I saw this car that was advertised. I saw the pictures on it. I saw the price, and I met the individual that night, and I went down there. And I didn't buy the car at first. Why? Because I needed to see if it worked. It needed to be proved to me that it was going to be a dependable car for my daughter to drive around. So I got in the vehicle and I began to talk with the owner of the car and began to drive that around, and I felt very comfortable, and I purchased that vehicle for my daughter. I had to prove it for her because I wasn't going to buy it without it being proved. That's foolish. The sad part of that is I went to the gas station this past Wednesday. Jalen drove to school, and I'm going to work, and I had to fill my vehicle up with gas. And she left shortly after I did, and as I'm about ready to finish filling my gas, I see this little silver car just going beside me. I looked at it as my daughter, and I said to myself, what in the world just happened? My whole life just flashed before my eyes. It was a sad moment for me. It really was. But it's exciting as well. I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. So now the excuses, they begin to build up even more. Verse number 20 says, and another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. I look at this guy, and I see that he's a guy who is in love. I see a guy who doesn't want to be away from his wife at this point in time. Which, by the way, I understand this because it's difficult to be away from my spouse. I enjoy spending time with her. I enjoy those things. But there are on some occasions where we must part. It was beneficial for me to be away from her Thursday night and Friday and Saturday morning. It's beneficial for me so that I can go and be fed by God's word and see what I need to do to be a better father and a better spouse and a better servant for Jesus Christ our Lord. Those times are beneficial. And I understand that there are some times where it might be inconvenience. Oh, but you don't understand. I'm so in love with her, and we just got married. I understand those things, but there does come a time where you need to be away. And so the excuse begins to build. I am so fed up with excuses. Well, Brother Chad, Pastor, I can't come to church because I got this going on in my life. Pastor, Brother Chad, I can't come to church because I've allowed this to do this, and I can't do this, and I can't do this because of this, and because of that, and because of the other thing. I've grown up in this church, and I'm going to be flat out honest with you. I don't buy excuses. I really don't. You're being pretty harsh, Chad. I'm just being real with you. 2 years ago, I could have gave an excuse not to come to church to preach to you while pastor's in the hospital. I could have went to work and gave excuse, saying I'm too tired to go to work because of what I'm going through. I could have gave excuse to my brother, saying I cannot help you out today because I'm physically drained. I cannot do these things because I need to spend time with my family because we don't know what's going on with our father. We need to be there for him. But we allow excuses and excuses and excuses to come in our lives. And we stay away from God's house. This is going to be the shortest message I probably ever preach. I'm going to tell you one of the greatest discouragement a pastor faces in his ministry is right here, right now. What do you mean? Do you not remember this story? A man had a great supper planned, and he wanted everybody to be there with him that meant something to him. I gave people an idea of what was taking place tonight. Please don't miss, because if you do, you're going to miss out why a pastor is discouraged. And we see many empty seats tonight. But I'm going to tell you this. The draining hours that a pastor goes through as he spiritually prepares a message for his people that God has called him to. He's got every single one of us in mind and how it's going to help us and how it's going to benefit us. And then when it comes time for us to be fed by the pastor, we skip dinner and we give excuses. And that is great discouragement to a pastor. You know, a pastor depends upon his people to be here. He depends upon them. Do you realize you're beneficial to him? He has no idea that I was going to do this tonight. He had no idea what I was going to do last week. This is what God has been leading on my heart. And his pastor sits down and he begins to go through God's word, because this is what I go through. God, I have people before me that have needs, and I want to feed them the way that they need to be fed. God, I know so-and-so is struggling with this. God, I know so-and-so is having a hard time with this. And God, I know so-and-so is going through great, great distress right now. Please show me your word where I need to go so that I can help them. And it begins to think about all those things. Your faces begin to flash right before our very eyes. This would be good for so-and-so. I hope they're there. And then when dinner time comes, the preparation has been taken care of. Great detail has been brought into the message. The invitation has been sent out. And he's excited that the invitation is sent out. But so few accept the invitation to come have dinner in the house of God. The Bible says, and a few times as he's talking to Peter, the Lord, he says two times to feed his sheep. And then the last time he says to feed the lambs. You know, in order for us to grow, you and I need to feast on the food, the spiritual food, that God has prepared for each and every single one of us. And when that invitation's ignored, a pastor faces discouragement. But I will say this. I'm so thankful for the faithful who come, who stick it out, who are tired, who are weak, who are sick, who are sitting in our midst tonight that are hurting. I'm thankful for those. But there are others who are missing out. The invitation's there. They just ignore. Think about that the next time an excuse comes to your mind and you want to miss church. Think about that. There are literally people who are dying for their faith in China, desiring to go to church. But unfortunately, they get stopped along the way and they're martyrs for their faith. Stop using excuses. Come to dinner. It's supper time. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, I have no idea how these next few moments are going to play out. But God, I do know the importance of sitting in the pew, getting fed by the Word of God. We are so lucky, we are so privileged to be able to come here so freely to worship you. Lord, there might come a day when we might be told not to worship you anymore. God, I pray, even if that day is to come, the invitation is still sent out and we still come. Lord, if we have to die for our faith, so be it. Because what we got to gain is far greater than what we have to lose. God, I pray that you'd work in these next few moments, give our pastor the wisdom and how he sees fit to deal with the invitation. We ask it in your name. Amen.